What are the similarities between the founders of Islam and Mormonism? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is The American Muhammad, Joseph Smith, Founder of Mormonism. It's written by regular guest Dr. Alvin Schmidt. You can purchase The American Muhammad by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. The American Muhammad, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April.
As Christians, my family and I remember the incredible sacrifice Jesus made for each and every one of us, how he took on the sins of the world and extended the gift of salvation. And we recommit ourselves to following his example here on earth.
The problem here is that who cares what his opinion is? Our opinions do not rise to the level of Christian doctrine.
Satan has always been a used car salesman. He'll always want to sell you something that cannot happen and that will not work.
Hi, this is Eric, and I'm a steel worker from Pittsburgh, PA. With some noise reduction headphones and the new iPhone app, I listen to Issues Etc. all day long.
Most people do not think of Christians as free. They think of Christians who have imposed all sorts of additional rules on themselves. They're the rules that everybody lives by. The so-called golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. There's the rule of just basically being nice to people when absolutely necessary. But Christians are often viewed as people who have decided to take upon themselves a bunch of other rules and to live by them. And many people think that's what Christianity actually is. Not freedom, but in essence, kind of a voluntary servitude to just more rules. Is that true? We're going to be talking about Christian liberty live this Thursday afternoon, April the 4th, here on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor George Borghardt will be our guest. A little bit later, Dr. Holger Sontag will be our guest. We're going to be talking about Martin Luther on the Church and the Holy Spirit. Dr. Alvin Schmidt will join us after that in hour two. Part two of a four-part series we're doing with him on the parallels between Joseph Smith and Muhammad, the founder of Mormonism and the founder of Islam. Today we're going to talk about the remarkable, striking religious parallels between these two men. And then Dr. Robert Gagnon will join us for the last half hour. We're going to discuss two issues with him. We're going to respond to kind of an evangelical softening, compromise on the biblical position of divorce. And we'll also talk about Sodom and Gomorrah, that famous Old Testament story from the book of Genesis. Many advocates of homosexuality say it only applies to a certain kind of homosexuality, not to homosexuality per se. And Dr. Gagnon will respond to that for us in the last half hour. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Pastor George Borghardt is a regular guest. He's pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in McHenry, Illinois. He's conference executive for the Lutheran Youth Organization called Higher Things, and he's authored an article in the latest Higher Things magazine titled 100% Free, 100% Servant. George, welcome back.
My boy is risen.
He's risen indeed. What's
all right?
I hadn't heard that one before. What's the danger of Christians? I talked a minute ago about how non-Christians completely misunderstand what Christian freedom is. But what's the danger of Christians misunderstanding Christian freedom?
Well, I mean, like anything else, we use it as a license to sin. But I think what basically we're either going to fall on the side of slavery on either end. Either we're going to be enslaved to our sins, or we'll be slave to the law. Which I guess if I think it through enough, it'll be the same thing. We're enslaved to our sins, and we're going to use Christianity as a means of, you know, scratching the latest itch that we have, or we'll be enslaved to the law and curb our Christian freedom because it's too free. Can't be too free. Can't be that way. Tell people that they're free and they'll just sin willy-nilly. Those people will. We won't. I mean, you know, you won't. I won't. But, I mean, other people will. So either way, we end up losing the gospel because Christ did not raise from the dead to put us underneath a new law, any law.
You have preached sermons, I know, where afterwards someone said just that to you. They've said what you said there about Jesus having done everything that there's nothing the Christian must do, that there's nothing left to do with respect to God. You've just given people, you have just given people a blank check. These people are going to go out and sin like crazy. Now, you mentioned that objection.
Or they'll be saved. Imagine that. We would be saved from our sins, as if Christ died for our sins and raised for our justification, our forgiveness. Yeah, the regular complaint is, you know, and I hear it. I hear it in my dear parish from the you know, I'm not sure I like that, especially when you say you've been freed from the Ten Commandments. We're okay with being freed from the moral of the ceremonial law, and we're okay with being freed from, you know, not being able to eat hamburgers. I mean, who wants to not eat a cheeseburger? Seriously. But when it comes to freedom from the Ten Commandments, we're like, whoa, wait a minute here. Because if we're freed from the Ten Commandments, if Christ set us free from the Ten Commandments, then usually other people are going to live bad. I'm not sure you can say that. Other people can live badly. So, yeah, that's the common complaint. And all of it is rooted in the slavery of believing that we stand before God based upon something we do or don't do. So we're okay with being released from the Jewish dietary law and the sacrifice law. But when it comes to our morality, well, we're going to cling to that last fig leaf that we're going to stand before God somehow by the Ten Commandments.
So, why is it that we fall into that trap? I mean, what is it about us in the old man that so loves slavery of one form or another? It doesn't really care which kind he gets, but he likes being a slave.
Well, it's because we're fallen. I mean, we like being dead. We know how to be dead. It's the religion that we're comfortable with. We're dead in our sins and trespasses, and so really we're sort of the creepers that would hang around the tomb. I just realized this Easter that Jesus is never in the tomb on Easter morning. You can't find him there. You find angels there. I was always disappointed. It's like, where's Jesus? He's like, where's Waldo? I mean, where's Jesus? He doesn't show up in Mark's gospel at all. In Luke's gospel, there's two angels there. In Matthew's gospel, there's angels there. You always catch him outside of the tomb, but not in the tomb, because Christ isn't in the tomb anymore. He's not going to be in the tomb anymore. See, we, though, having been set freed from the law and the commandments, love to hang out in the tomb, whether it's slavery to our sins or slavery to our desire to justify ourselves before God by means of the law. And there's the key to the answer to your question. Why do we like our slavery so much? Because we like to justify ourselves before God. And when we hear that Christ has set us free from the whole law, we go, how will God know that I'm somehow more special than Todd Wilkin? I mean, how will he know that I'm a cut above the rest? And that is the religion of the law, and that doesn't save. That is only a varying form of death and slavery. Either I'm going to can't get away from my sins, and so I have to do them, and I feel like I'm going to use Christianity as a means to do them, or I can't get free of the law, and so I have to live underneath the law, judging myself by how I am with God based upon the law, or judging how things are between me and God based upon me and my neighbor. Oh, Christ is no longer in the tomb. The law finds its completion in the death of Christ. He was crucified for our sins. He was raised for our justification before God, which means faith, which is the antithesis of salvation by the law. It's either works or faith, not both. And faith, which is freedom from the law, grasps hold of the resurrected, the one who was crucified and raised from the dead, and we're dragged out of the tomb to a life that's freed from the law, freed for service of others.
Okay, so before we take this break here, how free, then, is the Christian?
Totally, 100% free. Free, free, free. There is no how free? Totally free. Jesus free. Cross free. Empty tomb free. Completely free. So free that we'd be scared of how free we are. That the law has no condemnation with us. It died with Christ. It's still in the tomb. And we've been set free from its commandments. Lex semper accusat, the law always accuses. No, not Jesus, not us, in Christ, in the gospel. That free.
So how can you say that we're both 100% free and 100% servant? The two seem to be, well, that seems to be a paradox of paradoxes. About a minute or so before we take our break.
Only a minute to handle a paradox? Are you kidding me?
Well, we'll get up on the other side of the break.
Okay, here it is. I mean, we're free in Christ to love God with our whole heart and to love our neighbor and, as ourselves. And Jesus' freedom is then not is not, okay, well, now I'm set free to sit on my couch and eat bonbons and watch, not bonbons, it's Easter, Peeps and Cadbury eggs. No, I've been set free to love and serve those around me. With the same love and service that Christ gave to me. We'll talk about that on the other end of the break.
Pastor George Borghardt is our guest. He's pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in McHenry, Illinois. We're talking about Christian liberty, Christian freedom on this Thursday afternoon, the 4th of April. You can join us with questions or comments. We are coming to you live. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. When we come back, it is a paradox. We are absolutely free. Before God, we are as free as God can make us, and He has completely set us free. Before our neighbor, before those around us, we are servants. Now, we are free servants. That means we serve freely, which is something that we just can't conceive of according to our fallen nature. We love the slavery to sin. We love the slavery to the law. But to be free servants, that's repugnant to us. We'll talk more about that after this.
The Association of Evangelical Lutheran Congregations invites you to our third annual free conference and business meeting, April 16 through 18, at Trinity Lutheran Church, Austin, Texas. The conference theme is Christ for Us, the Divine Service. Speakers include Reverend Rick Sawyer, Reverend Dr. Richard Stuckwish, Reverend Brian Wolfbuehler, and others. Details are available at www.acelc.net.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper, every service every Sunday, and Wednesdays too, preaching Christ crucified and risen. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is. 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri, or find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor George Borghardt is our guest. We're talking about Christian liberty. Okay, so you started in on the paradox of being 100% as free can be, and then also being 100% servant. Does it help to understand this paradox a little bit? I mean, you never get
can completely crack a paradox, but does it help a little bit to understand it in terms of that distinction that theologians often make before God and before man?
I think we can do it with the law and the gospel too. I think, first of all, we have to handle the complaint that I'm sure the mail that you're going to get is that, well, this is a new form of antinomianism. It's reducing the law. And what basically Pastor Borchardt has said is that we're free from the law. You can live any way you want, which I never said. But we hear this, and that's a way that we guard the law from the gospel by saying, oh, that person is against the law when he says I'm that free. It's a gospel reductionism. He's just reducing it to Jesus. But the problem with that is the simple question: how do you stand? And we'll use your language before God. Do you stand before God by any works that you do, by any law that you do? And the answer, of course, is no. I stand before God solely by Jesus alone. Oh, so Christ fulfilled the law? Yes. The whole law? Yes. The whole complete law? Yes. And so he set you free from the law and the commandments? Oh, yes, completely. Now, see, we're doing just fine. And then we get a little bit afraid. But what about the law? The law has to be something. There has to be something. It can't be that easy. But in the gospel, it's only Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Now, in the law, if we're going to switch to the law and we want to seek to justify ourselves before God by means of the law, there's no saving ourselves from God. Then there isn't. If we seek to justify ourselves by even one of the Ten Commandments, one of them, then the whole law comes after us, and the whole law accuses us, and the whole law damns us. By works of the law shall not some of our flesh be justified, or those that keep the commandments that we want are part of our flesh be justified. No, by works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So where's the place of the law in the Christian? And you've got it. Well, coram hominibus, before man. Which is basically, the saint doesn't need the law. The saint is freed from the law. But do you know who needs the law? Other saints. Those around me could really use the law. They could use me picking up the law, third using it, and reading the law, not so that I could justify myself before God, but so that I could love and serve God in my neighbor, freed from the condemnation of the law. So my neighbor, how I stand before them, I could really use a full dose of the law, and I could be so freed in the gospel that I pick up that law and I look and say, how can I love those around me? Well, you know, they could really use me having no other gods but Jesus, the crucified. They could really use me not misusing Jesus' name. My neighbor could really, God's going to love me in Christ no matter what. So they could really use me appreciating the preaching and teaching of God's word. Mom and dad could really use me honoring them. Pastor could use me listening in confirmation, just for a little bit, please. Fifth commandment, you know, those around me could really use love, not hate. Sixth, a chaste and decent life. Seventh, me not taking their stuff from them, but me helping and supporting their stuff. Eighth, oh my goodness, could our church use us not slandering one another? Just for once, to build people up, it would be such a sweet thing. And then coveting. I don't want your stuff. Jesus gave you your stuff. They could really use that attitude. Let me help you get more stuff, since it's only stuff and Jesus will make more. And so basically, I think you can do great with before God or a before my neighbor distinction. But really, you can also do well with simply a law-gospel distinction. I am totally and completely freed from the law in the gospel. In the gospel. If I seek to save myself or I seek to live in my sins, I'm going to get a full dose of the law. I'm going to get a full dose of condemnation from God. So the law hasn't gone away. It's just whether or not you're in the boat or not. As long as you're in the boat of your baptism, in the Lord's words and in his promises, there's there's no condemnation in Christ. You step out of the boat and you want to swim on your own, where you're going to have nothing but law. Law for you and condemnation from God. So, but in the boat, you look around, you're like, well, I've been freed from the law. Well, freed to do what? Well, freed to care for those around me. Well, let me help you out. Because there's no end of the time in which I have, now that I've been freed from having to save myself, that I can't give to you. It's a law gospel, coram deo, coram humidibus, way of looking at things. And this, by the way, is Luther, too. I mean, Luther in the Galatians commentary has that quote which scares everybody, which is simply, he said, it's the finest art of a Christian to ignore the law. And everybody goes, oh, wait a minute, well, he was having too much beer that day. No, he wasn't, which means if the law comes after you, Todd, and says, you're a filthy, rotten hater of God and his word, and it does its work on you, and you look up at God and you're just like, I'm sorry, God, please forgive me. Have God be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus, forgive me. And you hear that word of forgiveness, that your sins have been answered for by the one who was crucified. I love that. The angel says, you seek Jesus, the crucified. He's not here. Jesus, the crucified, has my forgiveness. When that law comes after you again and barks at you, you filthy, rotten sinner, you're like, I'm sorry, I'm just going to ignore you because you have no place in condemning me before God ever again, ever again. So I think we're talking about a Lutheran distinction of which is a scriptural distinction, which is Christ sets us free from the law. He doesn't abolish the law, but he sets us freed from the law's condemnation in order that we might love and serve those around us with the same love that he went through death and hell for us with. If it's good enough for us, it's good enough for them.
Well, talk about this, and that is, as long as someone says, someone's listening to us and they say, well, you know, it sounds great, but I still want to cling to that little something that I've got to do before God, tell them, make it clear to them, that as long as they do that, they will never, ever find time to serve their neighbor. Not the way a free Christian does.
Now, that's hanging out in the tomb, looking for a dead Christ. That's what that is. You don't have any time if you're looking for Jesus in the tomb. You won't find him. The angel's great. Why do you seek the living of the dead? You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. You seek to justify yourself by some law. No, you won't find Jesus in the tomb on Easter. Instead, you'll find him outside the tomb, caring for Mary, caring for you and me, telling Peter, you know, Peter, do you love me? So it's like, as long as we're hanging out in the tomb looking for Jesus, in the place where dead people are, which is justifying ourselves with the law, we got no time for our neighbor. But if we've been set free from the condemnation of the law, free to live before God in righteousness and purity forever, so free that no condemnation, no law, no death, no sin can harm us. Well, now we got nothing but time for those around us to love and care for them. Where are we going to find out how to love and care for them? Well, we're not going to find out inside of ourselves. We're going to find that in the law. We're going to have to pick up that law, read that law, love that law, not to justify ourselves, though, but love that law for the sake of those around us.
Does it also mean that someone who says, look, I serve my neighbor, it's part of what I do for God, it's part of how I get right with God, is that person serving their neighbor or themselves?
Still trying to save yourself. I mean, okay, when I stand before God, I stand solely in the death and resurrection of Christ. That person stands solely in the death and resurrection of Christ. Outside of that, we're lost and condemned creatures. And so if you want to cling to some law in which you can justify yourself, some part of the law, some piece of the law in which you can hold up before God as some sort of filthy rag that you can justify yourself before, you're going to find yourself lost. It's only when you take your, you can leave the empty tomb and receive by faith the forgiveness of sins, which was achieved by Jesus on the cross and delivered to you in your baptism, in the word, in the absolution, in the body and blood of Jesus, that you have been set free. So we sort of the post-communion collect. So we live by Christ we live in Christ by faith, and our neighbor by loving them. Oh, love covers a multitude of sins, not our own sins, but our neighbor's sins. And those are the people who could really use good us reading the law and loving the law for their sake, not to justify ourselves. That's freedom. When you have everything, you don't have to protect yourself from anything. If you own everything, then you can get down on your hands and knees and you can wash somebody's feet. If you think that the person's going to judge you or think that you're less or you have to do something to make yourself seem important, then you can't get down on your knees and clean the disciples' feet. He knew that he had everything on Maundy Thursday. And he knew that he was from the Father, and he was going back to the Father. We have everything in him. We are in our baptism. Okay, we have been born from above, and we're going to return. We're going to be where Jesus is. That's certain. Which means no task is too small, no thing too great for us to do for those around us, as he has done for us.
Pastor George Borghardt, thank you very much for being our guest.
Hey, take care.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time talking with Dr. Holder Sontag about Martin Luther on the Church and the Holy Spirit. Luther does something very interesting with the Creed, and I think there's a point to it with regard to the Church. We'll talk about that after this.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a recording of an Ascension and Pentecost sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Issues Etc. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Pentecost Sunday, May 19th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Ascension and Pentecost sermons. Now, when you make your gift, please indicate whether you want a downloadable version or a CD of these sermons. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us during the Easter season.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Stephen Hine on the Consortium on Classical and Lutheran Education Conference, July 16th through the 18th in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
The Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education wishes to invite all Issues Etc. listeners to its 13th annual conference hosted by Concordia Theological Seminary this July 16th through the 18th. For the first time, we will be featuring three-day intensive in-service opportunities in such areas as teaching Latin, classroom design and management, Christian and non-Christian worldviews, classical Lutheran pedagogy. Please join us for our best conference yet.
You can find out more about the Consortium on Classical and Lutheran Education Conference, July 16th through the 18th in Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ccle.org. ccle.org.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
When someone asks you, what do you believe as a Christian, how do you respond? Do you have a confession of faith? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, I Believe. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Mark Hemingway answers the question, why Lutheranism with why not? Subscribe to the online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God is only $15.99. CPH.org.